Welcome everyone to this meeting of the Plans Committee for Chowan Borough Council. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and the recording will be made available on the Council's website following the meeting. Under the Openness of Local Government Bodies regulations, people may film or record this meeting and this is outside of the Council's control. However, people wishing to film or record the meeting should do so in a way that doesn't disrupt the business of the meeting. Also, so that the business the meeting is not disturbed, can I ask everyone present to please turn off your mobile phones or switch them to silent and ensure that the meeting is distraction free. In addition, please turn off any smart speakers on phones, Alexa, Siri, Cortona, etc., as these record conversations and could be a breach of GDPR. Voting will be undertaken by a show of hands. It will either be for, against or abstain. Speakers will be called forward at the appropriate time. Speakers will have 5 minutes each and will be timed by the Democratic Services Officer, that's over here. When you have 1 minute remaining, you'll be advised. Now, some people, that 1 minute remaining, if somebody says, oh, you've got 1 minute remaining, that can be, it can throw you off your stride. If you prefer not to have the verbal instruction, you've got 1 minute left, then there'll be the amber light that comes on over here in front of the officer. So before you start, if you just indicate whether or not you want the verbal reminder. We've got two late speakers tonight. So on these I need, I'll take them together. We've got Chris Lindley on behalf of the agent. This is on item two. Planning application number P/21/21864/2. So, Chris Lindley, on behalf of the agent, late request to speak. Can I see a show of hands, everybody in favour? Anybody against? No abstentions? One abstention, okay, thank you. And the second late speaker, I've got Councillor Forrest, who wishes to speak in her capacity as Chair of Barrow Parish Council. I think that I'm going to ask you to declare whether or not you come here today with an open mind. I'm guessing that you're probably predetermined. So we'll just hand over to you, Councillor Forrest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I think this is an appropriate time for me to declare an interest in this matter. I come predetermined on item 2, P21/21864/2. I was a member of the Plans Committee at Barrow Parish Council when this was application was discussed, and we decided to object. So I cannot come today and say I have an open mind, because clearly I don't. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, when it comes to this item, you can stay in to hear the item being presented, but you'll have to move to the public gallery for that. Once the item has been presented, I'll call you forward. You'll have your 5 minutes, and then after that, after you've spoken, then you'll need to leave for the debate, and we'll call you back in after the debate has been finished and the vote has been taken.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Oh, sorry, I do apologise, sorry. I need to put that to the vote. Is everybody in favour of Councillor Forrest speaking tonight? Thank you. Anybody against? Any abstentions? No? Well, thank you very much. Thank you. So, application number one. Application number P/1... I do apologise, I should have asked Councillor Snart.
I've taken advice from the monitoring officer for transparency on item P19-18982, item 1, I declare that I made a submission about a previous application relating to this site several years ago. I have had no involvement with the current application. It is a different applicant, and I have an open mind in relation to this application.
Okay, thank you for that, Councillor Charles.
Thank you, Chair. Likewise, I've also taken advice, and I've been advised that I should declare an interest in item number one, as I'm part of Thurston and Croxton Parish Council, and I've helped in the formation of their objection, so I've been advised to leave the room.
Okay. Right, so you want to leave the room now. Okay, thank you very much. Anybody else on this item? No? Okay, and also before we start, you'll see in front of you some extras reports. These should have been distributed by 5 p.m. last night. They weren't, so you've got them in front of you today. The officer, after each item, will draw your attention to any points that's been raised in that report, in the extras report. I'm going to have to ask everybody, I'm going to have to take a vote on this, as to whether everybody's in agreement with that. I'm sorry, just one moment. Councillor Howe, can you just ask Councillor Charles to come back in for me, please? Okay, thank you. Okay, Councillor Charles, I've asked you back in because you will have in front of you some extras reports. There's extras reports on each of the items being presented today. They should have been sent out to all councillors by 5 p.m. yesterday, but the distribution didn't happen, so you've got it today. I need to ask the elected members here on the committee whether or not they're happy to accept admission of these late items. And what will happen is, after the presentation of each item, the officer will explain what was in the extras report. So I'll take them all together, all items together, for each one of the applications. Can I see a show of hands in favour, please? Thank you. That appears to be unanimous. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, is there a reason for them being late?
It was just, it was Democratic Services' job to send it out, and they just failed to do it. I don't know what the reason, it was just human error. Do you need any more clarification on that? Because if you do, I'll ask one of the officers to step in. No? Okay, thank you. So, do we have any apologies this evening?
Chair, we've received a number of apologies from Councillor Fryer, and we've got Councillor Snart as a substitute, also from Councillor Ranson, and we've got Councillor Seaton as a substitute, and then we also received apologies from Councillor Gerard, and Councillor Howe is a substitute.
Okay, thank you. Item 2, minutes of previous meetings. I need to ask the committee if they can confirm the correct record of the minutes, the meeting held on the 24th of March 2022. Can I have a show of hands if you agree? Thank you. of the members that weren't here last time, I don't expect you to vote, but is there any abstentions or anybody against? No, thank you.
Item three,
questions under committee procedure 12.8. No questions have been submitted. Can I just ask Sally to confirm that?
That's correct, Chair.
Thank you. Disclosure of pecuniary and personal interest. Are there any disclosures of interest? We've already had one already. Two already. Thank you. Nobody else? No other declarations of interest?
Item 5, planning applications. Item 1, planning application people. Sorry, Councillor Carroll, do you want to leave this stage? Thank you. Planning application P/194/189/2, Carrington Construction Limited, Councillor Lane, 13.
Thank you, Chair. So in front of you, you should have a copy of the slides. Unfortunately, the screen isn't working, so I will be reading from the slides. Does everybody have a copy that needs one? Yeah. Okay, thank you. So the first item on the agenda is a retrospective application for change of use to builder's yard with plant hire, which is a sui generis use, and erection of associated buildings and earth funding. Site address is Anstey Lane in Kirkaston. So the site is located on the site of the former sewage works, which closed in the 1990s, and the south and east of the site is used by a fencing company currently and includes buildings and an office. The site is accessed from Anstey Lane via a 120 metre access road. The aerial view of the site, the aerial photograph in the slides, shows the site is screened by existing trees to the east along the Anstey Brook and a bund to the east and the north of the site. The site is located in countryside and the green wedge between Purfaston and Anstey. And the site is located within flood zones 1, 2 and 3. The flood zones are shown on the slides there. And the higher flood zones are to the northeast of the site. And the green wedge is shown on the site, and the green wedge is between Anstey and Purfaston. The next slides show some photographs of the site as it is existing. All the proposed buildings are actually up there on site because it is a retrospective application. The buildings are low level, they're utilitarian in design and largely dark in colour. So there's a selection of photographs and you can see the low level of the buildings on those first two slides. The second two slides show photographs taken from the site access. So the first photograph of the site access is actually from the site itself, looking back towards the access point on Anstey Lane. And the second photograph looks towards the site, and you can see the low-level buildings just visible on the site. Then we've also got some photographs taken from Anstey Lane in Anstey, so just on the outskirts of Anstey, looking towards the site. The first photograph shows the site when viewed from the lay-by, just opposite to the allotment, and the second photograph shows the view from the field gate, which is the field adjacent to the site, and you can just see the roof of the largest building on the site, that silver roof, just visible. So the next slide shows the proposed site layout. So this is as existing now because the site is the application is retrospective. So the buildings are largely to set around the boundaries, although there is that one building, workshop building, to the north of the site. So the next few slides show the buildings themselves. Building 1 is an office building on the eastern boundary. Building 2 is the central office building within the centre of the site. Building 3, an office building to the south. Then the workshop building to the north of the site, which is that silver roof that you can see from the photographs. Then there's two caravans proposed, static caravans, which are for staff welfare facilities, toilets and the like. They're located to the south of the site, adjacent to one of the offices. And then the final slide shows the proposed workshop shop and office to the southeast of the site, with some storage buildings adjacent. So the key considerations on the site are, firstly, the principle of the development. The site is a brownfield site in open countryside, so this doesn't meet the policy CT1. The site is located within the green wedge. The buildings are low level, and the bund to the north and the east will limit the impact on the undeveloped character of the area from public views. The function of the green wedge is considered to be maintained. The proposal is supported by policy CS10, which relates to rural economic development, provided there is no detriment to the character and appearance of the countryside. The NPPF national policy also supports sustainable growth and expansion of rural businesses. The report reviews appeal decisions for previous proposals to develop on the site. The previous appeals differ from the current proposal, are some time ago, and national and local policy has changed since then, and the Highways Authority do not object to the current proposal, unlike on previous schemes. Overall, in principle, the proposal is considered acceptable, subject to the proposal causing no detriment to the character and appearance of the countryside. So in relation to design and visual impact and countryside impact, the structures will be visually contained by existing trees to the east and the bund to the west. The views from Thurcaston are limited by the trees. The views from Anstey are reduced by the bund, and additional landscaping will be secured by condition, and that's proposed condition 4. The development will maintain the physical separation between the settlements, and although there is considered to be minor harm to the setting of Anstey, this can be mitigated by further landscaping and planting. In relation to highways considerations, a transport assessment has been revised and is now acceptable to the local highways authority. The application sets out that there will be one vehicular movement per hour during the 12-hour operating day. And these movements relate to staff, visitors, collections and deliveries. Survey data from February 2019 on Anstey Lane shows a low level of HGV movements. That equated to 17 eastbound movements and 10 westbound movements. The access and visibility are considered to be acceptable, and the accident data shows the existing situation will not be exacerbated. The local highways authority considers the trips associated with the proposal would have a negligible impact on the highways network. The previous use of the site by staff and tankers have been considered, and the proposed 8 HGV movements each weekday equates to 16 two-way movements. A condition is suggested to limit the vehicular repair and to ancillary activity to the builder's yard and plant hire use, and this will further reduce vehicle movements. Overall, the highways impact is considered acceptable by the local highways authority. In relation to amenity impacts, there is no objection from environmental health and there are no near residential neighbours. The caravans on the site are for welfare facilities only and not for residential occupation, and this is proposed to be secured by condition 2. In relation to ecology, the development wouldn't result in net loss of habitat and a compensatory payment. Sorry, would result in the net loss of habitat, and a compensatory payment is agreed and can be secured by Section 106 agreement. On-site landscaping will be secured by condition. In relation to flooding and drainage, the Rothley Brook is a main river, and east of the site is in flood zone 2 and 3. The buildings and bunds are mostly located in zone 1. Therefore, there is no objection from the Environment Agency or the lead local flood authority. In relation to developer contributions, the ecological mitigation sum has been agreed by the applicant. The report also discusses other matters because weight restrictions have been raised as a consideration, and that is considered within the report in the other matters section. The recommendation is that although the proposal is contrary to policy CT1 because of its countryside location, it is considered to maintain the function and undeveloped character of the green wedge and is supported by national policy and CS10 as economic development in a rural area. The landscape effects can be limited by landscaping measures. The Highways Authority advise that the impact on the highway is acceptable. There are no technical issues raised in relation to flooding. Therefore, the application is recommended for approval subject to conditions and Section 106 agreement to mitigate the biodiversity loss.
Okay, we're just going to hear the extra reports.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just going to read it out because I'm conscious that not everyone may have had the opportunity to read these in full. So just for clarity, I'm going to read these out to everyone. So for item number one, which we've just heard from Susan, there's three issues in the extras report. The first issue, Councillor Taylor and Councillor Baines have submitted two letters addressed to the Plans Committee, received on the 13th of April and the 14th of April. They express concerns about information taken from the applicant's website, which refers to the range and type of plant vehicles and machinery available to hire, including excavators, dumpers, skip loaders, dump trucks, track dumpers and bulldozers. The concern is that these vehicles are delivered to customers on the back of large low loaders, which are taken through local villages, close to residential properties, contrary to current weight restrictions. The letters from councillors raise concern about the number of trips being made from the site and includes a diary record of witnessed vehicle movements observed on various dates between March and June of 21. The letters specifically raise concerns about vehicles using the Nook and Cropston Road. The second issue is letters from Councillor Taylor and Councillor Baines are concerned that the submitted transport information, which accompanies the application, is dated February 2019 and more than 3 years ago, which should be regarded as being out of date. The third issue, the Chairman of Anstey Parish Council has submitted a letter dated the 19th of April, raising concerns about the damage to the footpath on Anstey Lane being caused by large vehicles entering the site. The chairman is concerned that large vehicles are unable to access egress the site safely and the potential harm to pedestrians. So the officer response, it goes through each issue. So the first issue, the officer response is, following the submission of the council letters and the additional information, the local highway authority has reiterated to the local planning authority that it has previously provided a response to those councillors on the points they raise. It is confirmed again that large vehicles accessing the site to load, unload, would not be considered to be in breach of the weight restrictions as set out in the other matters section of the officer report. In regards to issues two, the officer's response is a revised transport statement was submitted in January 2021 to provide an additional information requested by the local highway authority. The local highway authority also considered that the traffic survey carried out to support the application is less than 3 years old when the highway authority provided its response to the application, and this is in line with national guidance. The highway authority also notes that surveys were not being permitted for the majority of 2020 and part of 2021 due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And the officer response to issue three is the issue of damage to public highway outside of an application site is a matter for the local highway authority to investigate. The local highway authority is content with the proposed access arrangements and do not raise concerns regarding highway or pedestrian safety. The recommendation is no change to the recommendation for approval as set out in the agenda report. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. So we have three speakers on this item. The first speaker will be James Bottrell on behalf of the agent. The second speaker will be Glyn McAllister, Parish Council Chair. And the third person will be the Ward Councillor, Councillor Deborah Taylor. So if we can call up first James Bottrell, please. Just behind this councillor here, directly in front of me. You've got a microphone there to your left, and there's a button at the side of it, so it looks like a face with noise coming out of it. As soon as you're ready, you've started, you've got 5 minutes. Do you want verbal indication when you've got 1 minute remaining, or will the visual reference?
Yeah, that'll be visual reference will be fine, thank you.
Okay, so that's no verbal.
No verbal.
Thanks. So you have 5 minutes, start when you're ready.
Okay, thanks, Chair. My name is James Bottrell. I'm a director of HSSP Architects, who are the agents for this application on behalf of the applicant, Coatham Construction. The application site was purchased by Coatham Construction with the knowledge of it having lawful B2 general industrial use classification, together with an operational licence for HGVs. The site was purchased on the assumption that there would be no planning breach if they were to operate the site for general builder's yard with plant hire. Following enforcement action not long after the site had been in operation by the applicant, a retro application was submitted for sewage genius use, which is more applicable to the activities associated with the builder's yard. During the planning application period, which has now been ongoing for some 2 years, the plant hire business within the county construction started to become very successful and grew quickly to meet the national growth within the construction industry during the pandemic. County Construction were importing ever-increasing numbers of large earth-moving equipment from overseas into their Thurkingston site. The plant equipment was delivered on large flatbed HGVs, and these had to navigate through the village of Anstey. And on the odd occasion, drivers would get lost and would have to drive through smaller neighbouring villages. The applicant was well aware that these activities were causing great concern to local residents and to local councillors, and quickly started to look for alternative sites for this element of his business. In June last year, County Construction purchased a site in Corby and have now successfully set up premises to facilitate a plant hire centre which now receives all of their large earth-moving equipment. This activity no longer operates from their Thurkingston site, and local residents will have noticed a significant reduction in large HGVs coming and going from this site in recent months. The site was purchased by County Construction. The site had already been prepared for sale and cleared of all vegetation. It was therefore somewhat of a surprise to be asked by the local authority to undertake a biodiversity impact assessment based on historical Google Earth visuals. The site had back in 2016 become heavily overgrown due to the site being left vacant for a period of time. The biodiversity impact assessment has been based on these historic images prior to the applicant owning the site and prior to the site being cleared by the previous owner, of which was undertaken lawfully. This has resulted in a proposed financial contribution for off-site biodiversity mitigation, which the applicant is happy to pay Charnwood Borough Council, subject to a planning approval. The application has received no third-party objections, either from highways, the local Flood Association, ecology and the Environment Agency. They are all happy for this application to be approved, subject to conditions. Deborah Liggins, an experienced planning officer within the authority, has prepared a comprehensive and objective report which concludes that the planning permission should be granted in line with relevant policies. I think it's important that everybody understands that this site is an existing employment site, a general industrial site, and has permission for HGV use, all dating back to the 1990s when it was owned by Severn Trent Water. It will remain an employment site, and large vehicles will always be travelling to and from this site, irrespective of this application's outcome. So we urge you this evening to support your officer and recommend this application for approval. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would you like to return to your seat, Fon, please? Thank you. The next speaker I have is Glenn McAllister. McAllister, do you need a verbal indication when you have 1 minute remaining?
Yes, please.
Thank you. So start when you're ready.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm Councillor Glenn McAllister, Chairman of Anstey Parish Council. And just for clarity's sake, this site lies within the parish of Anstey, between Anstey and Thurkingston, not, there's references to it being between Croxton and Thurkingston in the report. Anstey Parish Council objected to the application on a number of grounds, which included the impact of the buildings and surrounds on the countryside, potential future use of the site, the impact of large vehicles passing through our already congested village, damage to the community footpath built between Anstey and Thurkingston as a safe walking route. We're not surprisingly disappointed that the officers recommended approval. We believe this decision is both unwise and based on poor evidence. To expand, it's not clear who actually will be using the site. Is it Cammington Construction who have submitted the application, or is it DTH Plant Hire who already operate from the site? There's also another name on the entrance of the site, Premier Plant Limited, so who is it? By the way, when looking at operator licences for the site, whilst the report refers to one for Cammington's for 5 vehicles and 5 trailers, there are also 2 others issued, one to DTH Plant for 2 vehicles and 1 trailer, and another for another company called Maxi Property Developments for 5 vehicles and 1 trailer. So is the real number 12 vehicles and 7 trailers? In terms of site use and the impact on the countryside, the original application was for 4 structures. This is now ballooned to 14, including 2, described in the report as hangar-type buildings made from shiny galvanised steel, visible across the valley. This is all surrounded by a galvanised steel fence on the public side of the earth funds, something which is more in keeping with an industrial estate, not Green Wedge. Regarding traffic, I will not reiterate comments made by many about large vehicles travelling through Anstey in an already congested village, which will only get worse with extra housing, which we get under the local plan. And despite the comments of both the officer and the applicant, vehicle movements are still heavy. One of our residents provided me information the other day that on the 29th of March, recently, between an hour, 1.5 hour period, there were 13 vehicle movements to and from the site, and that was between 3 and 4 in the afternoon. One of the key considerations in the report is the accident data referred to. The officer has taken at face value the transport assessment supplied by the applicant, which, in polite terms, is flawed to say the least. The data only looked at accidents in the immediate vicinity on Anstey Lane and concluded, as there are only 3, that it wasn't an issue. Unfortunately, no consideration has been given to Anstey Parish Council's submission, which analysed the County Council's data for the 5 years up to last March, and in particular accidents along the route from the A46 into the village and to the site. This showed that there were in fact 10 accidents along the route, of which there were 13 casualties, 4 serious and 9 slight in severity. Not quite the same result or the same answer. Moving on to the impact on the community footpath. This was built some years ago as a community project led by Anstey and Thurcus and Parish Councils in order to provide a safe walking route between Anstey and Martin School for Thurcus and residents. It's now well used by all and contributes to sustainable travel plans. We had submitted photos, which unfortunately have not been published, which clearly show the damage caused by the vehicles entering and exiting this site. The green verge between the footpath and the road has disappeared, and the footpath itself is now being damaged. How can that be deemed to be a safe footpath if low loaders of up to 60 foot in length can be exiting that site? The report rightly refers to the balance between this application conflicting with policy CT1 and that it caused with others. Interestingly, the conclusion on page 28 of the report refers to policies CS10, 12, 13 and CT3. But despite being part of the report earlier on, it fails to include policy CS11. You will see on page 10 of the report the definition importantly talks of the consideration of protecting tranquility. Clearly this doesn't do so. The report lays great store in the fact that the CT1 allows for development outside in the countryside where there's nowhere else for it to be located. There's no evidence at all in anything that I've seen in the report or in the documentation that supports such a conclusion as to where they've looked elsewhere, when or why it's deemed to be acceptable now. Finally, the planning process, as the committee know full well, is supposed to be plans led. The plan in this case appears to have been 4 years ago to start working, start operating without planning permission, get caught out, submit an application, amend it several times, wait 2 years for the hearing, and then hopefully, because it's all been in place for so long, get the committee to say, okay, it's fine. The impact on Anstey is not fine. I would ask the committee a simple question. If someone applied to run this operation in this location now, would you agree it? Hope your answer is no.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ask you to stop at that point. I mean, it sounds like you just finished.
I was just going to say, I was going to ask you to reject that.
Okay, thank you. Right, thank you. Next up, Councillor Deborah Taylor. Councillor Taylor, do you want a 1 minute reminder? Or?
No, I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, then, so start when you're ready. Thank you.
I speak on behalf of Councillor Baines and myself. This business has been operating since 2018 or possibly before, but only submitted a retrospective planning application in April 2020. It has taken over 2 years for the applicant to submit a planning application and another 2 years to submit all the relevant information to Charlie. The application includes the 14 new buildings on the site, some double high. This does not comply with policy CS2 high quality design, which requires developers to make a positive contribution to Charnwood, reinforcing a sense of place. The size of this site is ever increasing with obvious complete disregard of planning law, and to continue to expand while the application was being decided by Charnwood, having been found out they then had to submit additional buildings to this application. This site is between two rural villages that doesn't have the road network to cope with the number of vehicles travelling through or the size of the vehicles. We have received weekly reports of vehicles getting stuck on the roundabout, mounting the nail pavements, and just to confirm that eyewitness flatbed loaders today operating from this site. Roads around this site will have weight restrictions, and these large plant vehicles are regularly over the weight limit on roads that carry a large number of walkers, cyclists, children and horse riders. We receive daily complaints from residents about the huge amount of vehicles that are using this site, how large these vehicles are and how fast they are travelling. Speeding is a regular complaint we hear from residents. These drivers have total disregard for this residential area. We also note that the traffic survey was carried out in February 2019. This is over 3 years ago, and with the changes in the NOOC, there is now even more congestion on Croxton Road. The January 2021 survey was undertaken under COVID-19 restrictions, so it's not a true representative. The out-of-date data is not representative of the current severe traffic congestion that Outsea suffers from. The site is located within open countryside and with an area designation as a green wedge by SAVE local plan policies CT1 and CT3. And indicated with policy CS12 of the core strategy. Both policies seek to protect and enhance green infrastructure. Green wedges therefore have a dual purpose of retaining separation between settlements and protecting the character and appearance of the landscape. This application does not meet that criteria. It destroys the green wedge and the important separation zone between Anstey and Ferguson and the continuation of the green wildlife corridor. Policy CS11 seeks to protect the character of the landscape and countryside. It requires new development to protect landscape character, reinforce sense of place and local distinctiveness, tranquility and to maintain separation identities of settlements. This site does not conform. Vehicles from this site have been seen using small rural lanes in Ferguson. Bridget Hill Primary School is situated on Anstey Lane in Ferguson, and these vehicles are making it very dangerous for school children, cyclists and pedestrians. There is no suitable route for these lorries accessing this site as it is surrounded with small villages and narrow roads. A footpath built by the community along Anstey Lane connecting Anstey with Ferguson as a safe walking route to school has been completely destroyed by vehicles carrying heavy plant equipment driving on the grass verge when accessing the business park. This site has not only sustained a change of use but has also been expanded by stealth to accommodate more buildings and heavy plant vehicles without going through official channels. In doing so, the applicant has flouted the legal planning process. Expansion and current use of this site also runs contrary to the Ferguson and Croxton neighbourhood plan. Policy CS13, Biodiversity and Geodiversity, seeks to conserve and enhance the natural environment and expects development proposals to consider and take account of the impacts on biodiversity and geodiversity. This site shows a net loss of -4.38 habitat units, requiring an off-site contribution of over £138,000 to offset this impact. We see no plans of what this will look like and we're concerned that the work will not be carried out. We need to protect and ensure our natural environment and our access to it. We strongly support measures that have a positive impact on biodiversity and wildlife, whilst also helping the UK move to its net zero goal. The government will expect a 10% increase of biodiversity on sites by 2023, and this site goes against all that forward thinking. There is a lot of history for this site, with numerous refusals to applications, including Goating Hill and still being refused. This indicates that there was a fine line for development of this site. One inspector considered the main issues of the appeal were the impacts of the proposal on the countryside and highway safety. In 2016, another inspector stated that there would be a marked increase in the number of HGVs using these roads. While this does not represent a highway danger in itself, the roads do have a weight restriction and is generally busy, particularly at peak times. The inspector found that the site was suitably located but the proposal would result in severe highway safety concerns, and this was when there was less traffic than there is now. Therefore, in our view, the detrimental effects of this site, for the reasons we have explained, far outweighs the benefits, and this application should be refused. The views of local residents need to be listened to. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm just going to ask whether either of the officers at this stage want to come back on.
No, we'll wait for the discussion and come back on.
Okay, thank you. So far I've got one person indicating that they wish to speak, and that's Councillor Grimley. Is there anybody else? Councillor Starr? Anybody else at this stage? No? Okay, thank you. So that's Councillor Grimley first.
Thank you, Chair. I firstly just need to clear any interest or personal interest. Company Maxi Property Developers mentioned. Have previously known the directors there a long time ago. Not spoken to them for a long time, certainly haven't spoken about this particular development. So just known in their professional capacities of personal interest as opposed to pecuniary. So I'm here with an open mind tonight. Okay. It is unfortunate, it is a retrospective application. The question being whether or not we would have approved this if it had come as a new application, that would close. I think it has got a existing uses for B2, which does involve HGV use, industrial processes and the like, so it's not... Yeah, it isn't a greenfield site, it's a brownfield site, it's got existing use, so whatever happens, you know, HGVs could come up and down this site, and even if it doesn't get passed tonight, it could get sold on for another operator. So obviously that's something we do need to take in consideration. I mean, just talk about the previous B2 use. Were there any sort of restrictions on the amount of HGVs that could use the site, or is that something that the officers know?
Officers?
Not off the top of my head, but I can do a little digging and see if I can find out.
Okay, do you want to continue for now, and then we'll come back to you.
Come back to me while there's doing some digging on that. I mean, I also just comment that I appreciate this has been going for a long while, but unfortunately enforcement is a slow process, and getting these things to plans and committee is very slow. I've been dealing with enforcement issues that have gone for 3 or 4 years and still haven't had resolution, so I appreciate it did take a while to come in, and that may be down again to the workload of the officers.
Thank you. Councillor Grimley, can I just ask you to turn off the microphone to your right as well, please? So that's actually on as well. Okay, thank you. Councillor Starr?
Chairman, thank you. Before I say too much, could I just ask officers two things? It was stated, I believe, that they said the policy has changed since their last application. This was an application that went to the full way in terms of appeal and was dismissed by the inspector. So it would be interesting to know what the difference is now. And it was stated that there was agreement that HGVs could go from this site. I understood that the appeal decision actually refused the application because of the HGV and the highway safety implications. So if I could just get those before I make a statement. Thank you.
Officers?
I think the appeal that Councillor Snart is referring to is the P142094, the appeal decision of March 2016. And that appeal related to a proposal for change of use of part of the former sewage treatment works to a surfacing and planing contractor's yard. And that appeal was dismissed, and the conclusion of the inspector was that, and I'm quoting from paragraph 10 of that report, "I find therefore the effect on the increase in the number of HGVs using the local highway network and the inadequate visibility from the access on highway safety would be severe." And the conclusion of that appeal decision, paragraph 12, "Whilst the development would provide employment opportunities, this does not outweigh the harm I have identified. Therefore, when assessed against the policies in the framework taken as a whole, the appeal must be dismissed." So that's the 2016 appeal decision. Would you like me to respond to Councillor Grimley, because I've got that answer as well?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Chairman, could I just talk about, before we lose sight of it, I ask what policies have changed since the last application, which was stated by the officer.
Officer?
So, since that 2014 application, the national policy in the MPPF has been revised several times. The latest version of the MPPF national policy was July last year, so that has changed several times since the appeal decision. And since the appeal decision, the core strategy has also... So it's the national policy that's changed, and the wording of the national policy. The core strategy was in place when the decision was taken.
Councillor Stone?
I understood that, I don't want to dabble this too much, but I understood that the information coming through for severe has added to, and it was about highway safety as well. So from the actual application that was dismissed, I believe that it is more in terms of highway safety now, that it's been enhanced and does actually affect the way this operation exists.
To come back?
I don't have the wording of the national policy that was in place in 2016 in front of me. All I have in front of me is the current national policy, paragraph 111, which is quoted in the committee report. I can read that for you if you like.
That's the start. Okay.
I just wanted to make a statement after this.
Okay, thank you.
Do that now.
Or do you want if you don't mind, we'll get a response to Councillor Grimley's question. Officer?
In relation to Councillor Grimley's query, whether the B2 use had any restrictions on it in terms of vehicular movements, I have in front of me the Planning Commission, which is P130224, which was the change of use from the sewage works to a woodyard, a B2 use, and the conditions on that permission do not restrict HGV movement.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Grimley.
Thank you, Chair. Given what the officer has just said, that there isn't any current restrictions on HGV use on that particular site, I can't really see proper reason to refuse. I don't think we can refuse on the transport because of the HGV use could continue as a exempt B2 use with that unlimited HGV use. So I'm going to propose officer's recommendation.
Okay, thank you. Before I ask for a seconder for that, I've got Councillor Lowe indicating he wishes to speak. So, Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Chair. I do feel sorry for the residents of Anstead. I drove through there today and it's absolutely chaotic. So I do feel sorry for them. Could we not put a restriction on this to limit the movements of HGVs that are going to and entering the site and from the site?
Officers?
Unfortunately, we can't. It would be very difficult to enforce. We are not the highway authority, we're only the planning authority. There's no reason that we've seen from the evidence from the highway authority that would justify restrictions such as routing. But as I said, it's very difficult to enforce because unless they've got a logo on their vehicle as to where they're going, you can't ascertain actually where they're going to if it's that site or not. So my advice would be not to impose a condition for that.
Thank you for that. I take note, Chair, of the extra report and the comments from the highways, and therefore I would second the proposal made by Councillor Grimley.
Thank you. Councillor Seaton.
Thank you, Chair. Just points of clarity, please. On page 20, condition 2, I think, it says within 2 months of the date of this permission, the access arrangement shown on drawing a long number, which we haven't got that drawing, I don't suppose, shall be completed in full. Visibility displays once provided shall therefore thereafter be permanently maintained. Is this the, I know you said visibility displays, but is this also the access into the site to be improved from what it is now? So if we have to just have some clarity on that, because it, we're being told at the moment it's damaged a little bit, so is that access being improved from what it is now?
Officers? Okay.
Sorry, 2 seconds. We're just.
If it goes on to say, if you're sure that there's anything illegal in the site, make it easier for them. A bit of fear on the highway in a slow and controlled manner.
So, the reason for that condition is to ensure a safe and suitable access. I'm not sure as to exactly how much of it is necessary to be changed, but the reason that it's saying within 2 months of the date, there must be some changes that are needed. Susan is going to update me now.
Okay, so, can you hear me properly? Within the report, the access is stated as measuring between 7 metres in width and on the highways drawing, which I have in front of me, the width on the highways drawing, which is conditioned under condition 2, it's shown as 7.2 metres, so it is to be widened slightly. And also on the drawing are the visibility displays, so when it's increased in width, those visibility displays would also be increased at the same time.
Okay. And the other, thank you very much for that. The other question, I might have forgotten the term, not the city long term, call me. I think we were told that part of the business had moved to Corby, and that we, one of the speakers also came out with 3 or 4 different different names to who the site belongs to, or who the site, what the site is occupied by. Should it be just occupied by one, or is it open to, I don't know, anybody can set up there? Thank you.
So, thank you, Chair. Anyone can apply for planning permission, and the permission lies with the land, not the applicant. So the permission, if granted tonight, would be for that use. There is a condition. Sorry, the sun's in my eyes. Let me just... Condition 6, which was regarding the ancillary maintenance and repairs carried out with the site associated with the use. So it refers to the use of the site, not the owners of the site. So it can be... It can be used by any user as long as it is in accordance with what's been granted planning permission. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Councillor Snell.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to clear up really about the HGVs. We're saying now yes, the permission to HGVs to go from site in and out, but I still understand that that was refused. So I'm a bit of a quandary about that. The transport statement that comes with this as well. In the previous ones, it talked about the limited access on Thurcus streets, the manual for streets 2, which was looking at the way we signage was out, or the signage around there, and the riding school. These have not been mentioned this time in terms of where we look and say how these are detrimental to have HGVs running through this area of Amsty and Thirkeston. I think this is a good business, and it shows by the way that the person tonight said that they're in, granted and they've gone to Corby because it's been so successful. The one thing for me is that it is a successful business, but it's in the wrong place. If you look at policy CT1, it doesn't actually fit with any of the four areas that CT1 provides. And it says in all cases it should be demonstrated that the proposed development could not reasonably be located within or adjacent to existing settlements. Well, it could, because some of it's gone to Corby. So I think in terms of myself, I think the business is great, but I think it's in the wrong place. It should not be in a green wedge, in a local separation. I can understand a small business being there because that's what's been there previously, but the add-on effects of that through the highway and through other areas of the planning, it just is in the wrong place for me, and I will not support. And I still believe that there is great more information that needs to come out about the highway. And previously there was a lot of information about how this impacts on the area, and certainly the riding school and the detrimental effect that will have on that. So to me, I think it would have been nice tonight to have somebody from Highways so we could actually go through these bits and pieces so we have a clear understanding about the way that this is going to affect the local communities. But here we are. Until we have that information, I'm sorry, I can't support.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Campbell?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I agree with what David said, and it's the damage to wildlife. I know that there's an off-site contribution, but what happens to this money? I mean, we've been here the past 2 years, I keep hearing money's going elsewhere to help biodiversity, but I never hear of these schemes. Could you send me email me some schemes through which has benefited from some money from other places? Is that possible?
Well, do you want me to ask the officers as to whether they can shed some light on this for you?
Yeah, and show us where the money is going, because we need money in full paper for San Martin Banks, and we're having to raise money doing bric-a-brac sale. And I asked the council for money, and they've got none. I just wonder where it went.
Sounds like a pitch to me, but... okay, officers.
Thank you, Chair. So the money that's collected is collected by the council and retained by the council towards biodiversity improvements. And we're currently looking at sites as to where we can best spend that to mitigate the loss of biodiversity on those of the sites that we've collected money on. And that's work that is currently undergoing. So in terms of the concerns about where's this money going to and how is it going to be managed, it will be managed by the council, so we'll be able to spend the money in an appropriate way and also manage it appropriately as well. And if I may, Chair, I just wanted to pick up on another couple of points. Just in regards to Councillor Snart's comments, I appreciate what he's saying, but I just wanted to bring to members' attention that the appeal decision in relation to this site, in the conclusions, I just wanted to read out paragraph 9, which states, notwithstanding the above, with regard to the sustainability of the site in respect of its accessibility, it is located in between two settlements, both of which are within reasonable walking distance, particularly Anstey. Furthermore, the site is previously developed land located in the open countryside, and therefore the accessibility of the site is no less than its existing use. And in order to reuse such sites, it is likely that there would be a heavy reliance on the use of private cars. Therefore, I do not find that the site represents unsustainable development in this respect. So the inspector found that it was a suitable site. The issues were just highway safety. Now, Leicestershire County Council, as the highway authority, reviewed this application. Officers have raised the concerns that, members of the public and councillors have made to them, and they reiterate that they have no objections to this application. So I just wanted to make that clear to members before the vote. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I've got Councillor Stark wanting to come back, followed by Councillor Seaton and then Councillor Campbell.
It's okay to be selective in terms of the inspector's report, but at the end of the day, the inspector actually dismissed these, and he had good reasons to do it. And the reasons within the report haven't actually come out in the transport assessment this time. So that's my issue. And if there was transparency in terms of where we are with this on the transport situation, I could go along with it. But I don't think we've had the information that we should be looking for when we look at the what the inspector said. And it's very limited in the way that it's been produced, in my view.
Yeah, I'd like just to add something to that. I mean, I find it difficult as well, because in 2015, the Highways Department said it would result in severe highway safety concerns, whereas now, no objection. I do find that difficult to understand. However, that's the position that we have today. It's difficult, but it's here in black and white. How they come to this, I don't know. Okay, so next I have Councillor Seaton.
Thank you, Chair. It's probably what Councillor Campbell was going to ask, that I've just seen it here, an appropriate on-site landscaping scheme can be secured by planning conditions. So from that, have we got assurance that the money that's committed to biodiversity will be spent in that immediate area, rather than going to, say, the outwards or something like that, that will benefit that area?
Officers, are you able to shed some light? But before you do shed any light on it, can I just ask if Councillor Stark can draw the curtains up there behind you, as our Mark Fennell here is being... is being blinded by the light. Not that one, the next one across. Yeah. I think next one. No. That's it. Perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you. Nobody's. Councillor Grimmie, if you could just close the curtain behind you. It's still slightly open. I think somebody else is being blinded by it. The other way. All the way. Right, that's great. Thank you very much. Thank you. Councillor Campbell, I think you were next to speak. I'm going to go back to the officer to respond. Sorry, first.
Thank you. So just for clarity, there is a landscaping scheme on site which is secured by condition 4, and that's what that text you were referring to. There's then a contribution to secure off-site biodiversity improvements. Now, the wording of recommendation A is to mitigate for loss of biodiversity units within the vicinity of the site. Now, this is to make sure that it does offset the biodiversity impacts within the vicinity of the site. There's not a site mentioned in there, but as I said, we're currently working on getting a list of sites that would be suitable for this one. So, the wording secures it within the vicinity.
Thank you. Councillor Campbell?
So can councillors put in suggestions then to the sites that need some biodiversity?
I'll ask the officer, I don't know whether that's possible or not.
The officer the biodiversity officer that is looking at that at the moment, you're more than welcome to email him with suggestions if you wish. He's called Rupert.
Yeah, I know him, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Somebody down here indicated Councillor Grimley.
Yeah, I think it does mention money in the vicinity, Roy, so you might be a bit far away for that one. But the schemes do go ahead. There is one go ahead in Quay. find you at the moment with money from the council, so these do actually happen. It's not just put into a pot that disappears somewhere like other Y6 agreements do.
Thank you. Last speaker, Councillor Howe.
I have seen this site before. Feedback before I realised it was on the agenda, and although the area is flat, I was up on the Castle Park near the A46, and when I turned around and looked, I was quite staggered at the area it covered and how stark it is. It looked more like a military camp when you're on the park looking over. So I would like a reassurance that if we do approve this, that there are genuine steps made to screen it off. Because as I say, when you're on the level, when you're on the park, when you're looking down, it really is. As I say, because I've been there for a couple of years, I was quite surprised how all the industrial units have appeared. I've never noticed anything like that before. Thank you.
Officers?
I can't sit here and promise that it will be fully screened, especially when looking from above, because you will see it, and there's no doubt about that. Obviously, the landscaping, which is requested through Condition 4, is to help screen it, but it would largely be from the ground looking towards it. I think it would be difficult to screen in full if in an elevated position, but that is the reason for Condition 4, to help screen it.
Okay, thank you. Right, well, we've had a proposal. It's been proposed that we go with officer's recommendation by Councillor Grimley, seconded by Councillor Lowe. With a show of hands, can I see all those in favour? Thank you. Can I see all those against? Abstentions? Can I ask Mr. Harrison to give us the results?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, the proposition was carried by a vote of 6-4, 4 against, 2 abstentions, and 1 councillor not taking part in the vote. So, planning permission granted on the terms set out in the recommendation report.
Right, thank you very much. Those people all who wish to leave, do you want to leave now before we get to the next item? Yeah. Can I just ask, would any council like a 5-minute break? We're all good? Thank you.
Can I just ask, Chair, off the record really, if you and I had voted against, what would have happened? Because it would have been tied.
Then it
would be. No. Sorry, Councillor Tillotson, your microphone's on, you're not off the record, you've been recorded on the meeting.
Okay, my microphone's off as well. If we both voted against, then it would have gone against because the my vote was the casting vote. Sorry,
yes, of course. And it would have been a tie under those circumstances. Okay, so now we're on to item 2. This is application number P/21/21864/2, Williams Builders, 45 Bedford Street, Barrow-Ponsor, LE128PL. Before we start, I'm just going to ask a member here to move to the... That's it? Thank you very much. you have a question?
I did. I noticed that on the last item, councillors had a copy of the planning officer's presentation, but we don't. So is it possible for us to have a copy of that presentation for this item?
Yes.
This item, not the last item.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Okay, officer, would you like to present the next item? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So the next item is item 2, which starts on page 10 of your handouts. So item 2 relates to application P212186/2, and the proposal is for the erection of 7 dwellings with carports and garages, landscaping and associated works following the demolition of the existing dwelling. And the site location is 45 Beveridge Street, Barrow-on-Soar. So the location of the site is on the northern side of Beveridge Street, and the site is located within the conservation area and also adjacent to Grade 2 listed building and opposite a Grade 2 listed building. So number 22 is opposite and number 47 is adjacent. To the north of the site is the existing primary school. The boundary of the site to the primary school is a high wall and a 3-metre hedge approximately. So the proposal is the demolition of the 1960s bungalow and its associated garages and structures, outbuildings, etc. on the site. The photograph which shows the context of the site on page 11 shows the adjacent property 43 Beveridge Street and the disused shop which has its gable end to the street. The site also site photograph also shows number 47 Beveridge Street, which is the adjacent Grade 2 listed building, and the historic wall that fronts the street. The next photographs show the context of the site, so with the site on the left and number 22, the listed building opposite, and then the second photograph showing the site on the right, and you can see the gable end of the shop building and the front wall of the site. The following photographs then show within the site, which shows the existing site access with its cobbles, the shop building, which is prominent in the street scene, the wall to the frontage of the site, and the existing bungalow, which is a relatively plain building, which is a mixture of brick and white lintel. Then within the site, we've got various structures, including the double garage with the pitched roof, and the shop building with the workshop behind it. And you can also see in the more green pictures on the second set of photographs, the listed wall, which is part of number 47, the adjacent property, and the garden and the trees and hedges to the north of the site. So the proposal in more detail, the proposed site layout is shown on page 14 of the handout. And the proposal is for a terrace of 6 dwellings, which are a mix of 2- and 3-bed properties, and then 1 dwelling on its own, which is a 4-bed property. All dwellings are set back from Beveridge Street. There will be a single garage to replace the shop, which will be again gable end onto Beveridge Street, and there's also two proposed carports. The properties themselves will be constructed of red brick and tile to the rear of the site, and the single plot itself would be red brick with natural slate roof. Overall, there's 15 car parking spaces proposed, 2 per terraced dwelling and 3 for the single house. So the plot 1 is shown on the following slide, and then the terrace of properties, you can see the appearance of those to the rear of the site and their floor plans. And then the handout shows the carports, so there's a quadruple carport and also a double carport, and then a single garage. And the final slide shows the proposed hard surfacing arrangements and boundary treatment. So the boundary treatment to the front of the site, the existing wall will be retained as much as possible, other than to facilitate the access. And the listed wall around property 47 will be retained, and the structures, the wall structures to either side will be retained as well. So the key considerations are set out in the committee report. I'll just run through those briefly. So in principle, the site is located within the limits to development of the settlement, and Barrow itself is defined as a service centre, so it's considered a sustainable location for housing development. In terms of the design and amenity, it's considered that the proposal is appropriate for its location. It is a sensitive location, but its proposal is considered appropriate in terms of its materials and density and style, and the proposal meets the amenity standards as set out in the supplementary planning guidance that the council has adopted. In terms of heritage impact, like I say, it's in a sensitive location within the conservation area, it's adjacent to listed buildings, so the scheme has been carefully designed to retain the boundary walls, which are a key feature in the conservation area. The development is set back from the street frontage, which highlights the setting of the heritage assets and doesn't jar with the setting of the heritage assets. They still take prominence in the street scene. The development will replace the building that fronts the street at present, but it will be replaced with another building in the same form in that similar location. Overall, it's considered that there will be less than substantial harm to heritage assets due to the loss of some historic fabric that's retained on the site and the loss of a section of the front wall. The bungalow on the site is not considered to be a positive element of the conservation area at present, and therefore the loss of that bungalow is a heritage benefit and would be a benefit to the character and appearance of the conservation area. In terms of heritage impact, this is also relates to the heritage issue. So in terms of the highway's access, the standard highway access is usually 4.8 metres for a development of this scale. The proposal is 4.29 metres, so it doesn't meet the normal highways standard. And the reason for this is that officers have considered that the retention of the wall is more important than meeting the highway standard width in this instance. So pedestrian visibility displays are acceptable and meet the standards, but the highway's visibility displays aren't met in this instance. But this has been considered fully in the report, as you will have read, and it's considered in this instance that on balance that heritage impacts are the key consideration in this instance. So in terms of ecology and biodiversity, it was considered that a biodiversity impact assessment wasn't required. There is a bat roost on the site, and so bat roost mitigation will be required, and an on-site landscaping scheme is proposed to be secured by condition. The site doesn't involve flooding issues, as the site is in flood zone 1. There's no developer contribution issues on this site. So in relation to the conclusion. There's no technical reasons for refusal of this proposal. The seven new dwellings would help to meet the need for housing in the borough, and the benefits of housing are given significant weight. The access doesn't fully accord with the highway standards, but the harm is considered to be limited by the limited speeds on the street and the acceptable pedestrian visibility splays that are possible by the 4.29 metre width. The reduced width access is necessary to reduce the impact on the conservation area due to the loss of historic fabric and enclosure of Beveridge Street. The minor harm to the conservation area is considered to be outweighed by the desire to conserve the fabric of the wall and minimise the impact on the street scene. So the proposal would result in less than substantial harm to the heritage assets due to the loss of fabric and impact on character of Beveridge Street. However, the harm is considered to be outweighed by public benefits. The benefit of removal of the bungalow, the redevelopment of the site is a benefit also, as development is more sympathetic to the conservation area. The development will provide additional homes and will be a more efficient use of the land in this location. Overall, it's considered that the benefits outweigh the harm. There is no significant ecological value to the site, and there is no net loss in biodiversity assets. Overall, the detrimental impacts identified do not significantly and demonstrably outweigh the benefits. Therefore, it's recommended the Planning Commission is granted, subject to the conditions as set out in the report. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we have the extras report?
Thank you, Chair. This extras report is a lot shorter than the others. There's the one issue. The first issue is the applicant's agent has confirmed acceptance of the pre-commencement condition number 7 as outlined in the officer report. There is no officer response, and the recommendation is no change to the recommendation for approval as set out in the agenda report. Just wanted to note, the reason we brought this to committee is that every pre-commencement condition needs to be agreed by the applicant before we can proceed. So it was just for information. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, now we've got three speakers. We've got Professor Jonathan Wright, who's a neighbour, Chris Lindley on behalf of the agent, and I've got something to read out here on behalf of Hilary Fryer and Pauline Ransom, who are unable to attend. And I've also got Councillor Councillor Forrest, who was requested to speak as a late speaker as chair of Barrow Parish Council. So, do we have Jonathan Wright here? Would you like to come forward, please? As before, you have 5 minutes to speak. Would you like a verbal indication when you have 1 minute remaining?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. So, when you're ready, if you press the button, the red light will come on the microphone, you're good to go.
Hey,
it's not on. It's not on. I think it's to your... That's it? That's the one. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Jonathan Wright. I'm Professor of Building Optimisation in the School of Architecture, Building and Civil Engineering at Loughborough University. I'm also a Chartered Building Services Engineer. Thanks for allowing me to speak, and I'd also like to thank the planning officers for their professionalism in reviewing the proposal, this proposal and the previously rejected proposal. I've lived in Beveridge Street for 30 years and the last 9 years in the listed property at 47 Beveridge Street, adjacent to the site. Nobody is questioning the need to develop this site, and I think we all agree that the existing 1963-bed house is uncharacteristic to other houses in the street. However, I've got three issues I think I'd like you to consider. First is about the scale and design of the development. So the application proposes that the number of houses increases from 1 to 6, the number of beds from 3 to 20, and it will result in a 16% increase in number of houses along this conserved street. With houses come people, with people come visitors and deliveries, and all of this will increase traffic flow along an already contested street that suffers from on-street parking, not just from residents, but also the school and the two churches. The additional traffic flow and parking is a major concern of local residents. As such, it's not clear to the local community how the scale of the development benefits the community, how it's judged as being a sustainable development, and how it meets the policy requirements for a high-quality design. Second, heritage. Our concerns over the scale of the development are magnified by the site's location in the heart of the conservation area, there being 9 Grade 2 listed buildings in Beveridge Street. Numerous planning policies give emphasis to the need to preserve heritage. Yet, all farm buildings that are contemporary to the listed farmhouse at number 47 are scheduled for demolition. So just consider, for instance, that the application includes the demolition of a 300-year-old remains of a barn, which is currently used as a garage, and the demolition will be replaced by modern carports. The gable end of plot 7 is also in contact with the listed garden wall of 47 and towers 6 metres above the wall. This will degrade the importance of this listed wall and its uniqueness as an example of a 17th century walled garden. Again, it's unclear to the community how the destruction of the heritage assets and the dominance of the development and its juxtaposition to the 16th century Bishop Beveridge House enhances or contributes to the conservation area. Finally, I have some comments or observations on the recommendation and conditions. So, condition 4, boundary walls. The demolition of the 300-year-old barn will result in a 4-metre-wide hole in the boundary with the listed building at 47 Beveridge Street. The existing structure is brick, and I see no reference to this or how it will be addressed in the proposal. Condition 5, all trees and shrubs have already been removed, so it's no longer possible for the council to approve their removal. Condition 7, the removal of the habitat already means you can't complete an ecological survey. Advice note 6, since these bats are protected, and we know we're fast approaching breeding seasons, and surely this must be addressed as a matter of urgency. And finally, the site presents an opportunity for low carbon development, and I could speak to this with some authority. So I wonder if we can request review of this. So in summary, there are 3 questions or points I hope you consider. Does the 7-fold increase in housing on the site with resulting increase in traffic flow represent a sustainable and appropriate development?
Sorry, sir, you have to stop. Ms. Lindley?
Microphone's still on, so... Would you like a 1-minute indication? You have 1 minute remaining, or
a visual cue would be fine. Thank you, Chair.
So the visual.
Visual, yeah.
Okay, right. Thank you. Let's start when you're ready. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening, members. My name is Chris Lindley of RGMP. I'm a Chartered Town Planner and the agent for this application. Thank you for the opportunity to address you this evening. I'm here on behalf of the applicant, Williams Homes. Williams Homes are a small to medium, otherwise known as SME house builder, who work across Leicestershire. They have a strong track record of delivery, sell most of their plots off plan prior to being fully completed. The government are clear that SME house builders have a very important role to play in delivering new homes, as they are often more responsive and flexible than larger national companies. The balance of small sites such as this, alongside larger strategic developments, is also vital to deliver a robust and resilient housing land supply. I must start by fully endorsing the robust and very thorough recommendation to approve this planning application for the residential redevelopment of 45 Beveridge Street. The proposal before you today reflects a period of constructive work with your officers, including your conservation and design officer. This has seen views taken on board and positive changes made. We've allowed sufficient time for all views to be taken on board, considered and responded to. Where appropriate, this has included changes to the design. As discussed in the report and the presentation of the proposal, Widow Asylum is not without constraint. It's located within the conservation area and there are listed buildings nearby. There are also a number of existing residents and a school adjoining the site, so protecting their amenities are very important too. A number of interested parties have raised concerns around highways matters, and this is something we've carefully considered alongside our professional advisers, the Highway Authority, and your officers who are required to properly balance the evidence. On the flip side, we have a fantastic opportunity here to regenerate and make a more efficient use of a site in a sustainable service centre at a time where there is a pressing need to deliver new homes across Charnwood. The existing bungalow has been judged to make a poor contribution to the character of the conservation area. We also have an opportunity to provide a mix of dwelling types and sizes that reflect local needs. This is highlighted in the neighbourhood plan for the area. Building on these opportunities, our development includes for a predominance of 2 and 3 bedroom properties with dedicated parking and garden space, and the retention of the important boundary wall which frames a bespoke new 4 bedroom family dwelling. The combination of the wall and the dwelling beyond reinforces an important sense of enclosure to the street, which is characteristic of this part of the conservation area. The submitted plans show a form of development which is considered to be of an appropriate appearance, design, scale, layout, height, massing and materials when viewed in the context of the existing site characteristics and the surrounding built form. Through careful analysis of the scheme and requirements for appropriate separation distance, your officers rightly confirm that no unacceptable adverse impact will occur to the amenities of nearby residences or the school located just to the north of the site. The development would not adversely affect the setting of nearby listed buildings. Whilst you will note that the proposed access does not fully accord with the geometrical standards set out in the Highway Design Guide, I would emphasise that this is guidance and not firm policy. The magnitude of the conflict is not large, and it is open to professional balanced judgment. In this case, such judgment involves careful consideration of surrounding context and the conservation benefits of retaining historic fabric. Your officers rightly confirm that the scheme provides adequate pedestrian visibility displays. A combination of low vehicle speed and existing parking means that the access as proposed is not opposed by the Highway Authority nor officers, and this is clearly recorded in the report before you. For a scheme to refuse on highway grounds here, as we've heard already tonight, the adverse impact must be severe. This sets a very high bar, and there is no evidence to suggest this would be the case. Rather, we have a proposal which makes efficient use of land in a sustainable location, embracing key features of heritage value whilst enabling an SME house builder to deliver an appropriate mix of new homes in a time of pressing and significant need. These benefits should be given significant positive weight, and in the absence of significant and demonstrable harm, I commend the recommendation before you and respectfully request you resolve to approve this application with appropriate conditions. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Forrest. Councillor Forrest, would you like a 1 minute indication verbally?
Yes, I can give me a shout if you want.
Okay, thank you. Or whenever you're ready. Thanks.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Plans Committee, thank you for allowing me to speak to you this evening on behalf of Barrow-upon-Soar Parish Council, especially at such short notice. The Parish Council believes that this application is an overdevelopment of this site, consisting, as it does, of 6 comparatively large modern terraced houses and 1 4-bedroomed house, all with small gardens and a total of 15 car parking spaces, together with associated carports and garages. The Parish Council believed that this amount of development cannot be comfortably or aesthetically accommodated in such a small space, and we believe that the design of the site does not meet the high standards usually required by this committee and is contrary to policy EV/1 design. There are also problems with the location of the site, which is in the Bedridge Street conservation area, right in the heart of this village. Access to this site is opposite a Grade 1 listed building, and indeed the area surrounding the site abounds with listed buildings from the 16th to the 19th centuries. Bedridge Street itself is a narrow, congested street with cars parked on both sides at much of the day, with some cars forced to park halfway on the road and halfway on the pavement in order to provide a central access up and down the street. The parish church stands at the top. Our local 500 pupil primary school is only yards away, and the Baptist church is also very close. These establishments also generate a great deal of traffic, especially the school at certain times of day. This, therefore, is not the place in which to shoehorn a further 15 cars, the drivers of which will find great difficulty in negotiating access to their homes should this application receive planning permission. I refer the committee to policy TR18 parking in new development, maximum standards for which development should provide for off-street parking. Other items I would like to bring to your attention. An earlier application for 5 dwellings on this site was refused in September 2020. You are now faced with an application for 7 dwellings. Objections have been received from many residents in the area, including the Baptist minister, and from the head of our primary school, who highlights the issue of safeguarding from possible overlooking into the school from the houses on this site. This is a serious issue to be considered. The site has bats present, and you have heard from the presenting officer that this site application does not quite meet highway standards. I don't presume to tell this planning committee how to proceed, but I would like to suggest to members that an option to be considered, if a decision cannot be made tonight, may be deferral until such time as a visit to the site can be arranged, so that members can view the complexities of the site and the complexities of the sound of the surrounding area. This is a site like Leconfield Road that needs to be inspected and visited. Thank you for listening to me. I hope you have a pleasant... the rest of the debate goes well.
Thank you, Councillor Forrest. We'll call you in when the debate is finished. Yes, please. Thank you. Okay, as Councillor Hilary Fryer and Councillor Pauline Ransom weren't able here to get here tonight, I have something to read out on their behalf. And then following that, so far I have 2 councillors indicating to speak. First is Councillor Tillotson, second is Councillor Lowe, third is Councillor Snart. Okay, I'll just read this out. We're sorry we're not able to address the Plans Committee in person. We trust that you will give full consideration to the report submitted to, by the officers, and also comments from neighbours and other interested parties. Beveridge Street is one of the oldest streets in Barrow-upon-Soar and although very narrow, is a main route to the two schools, Hall Orchard Primary School and Humphrey Perkins School, which together cater for 1,000 plus pupils and staff. The street is also in the conservation area. The site backs onto the grounds of Hall Orchard School. Beveridge Street is a two-way street with very limited off-road parking, therefore making it, most of the time, reduced to a single track. Seven new properties could potentially increase traffic in this congested area by more than 20 movements a day. We feel that this application has not taken full account of the existing street scene and an overdevelopment of the site. The access to the site is very constrictive and limited visibility. We are concerned that displays at the entrance would not be wide enough. Should the committee be minded to grant permission, we would like the following conditions to be put in place. A traffic plan for deliveries, etc., to ensure that the street does not become blocked, and also that Church Street and Melton Road are not impacted. Church Street is a two-way narrow road, and the church and a retirement home at the junction with Beveridge Street. It would be useful for residents, etc., to have more information to plan, as buildings currently on the site will have to be demolished. B. Delivery should only be between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. daily, Monday to Friday. This is, I suspect, where our work is being undertaken. C. Work should only take place Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Saturdays, 8 to 12:30. No working to take place on bank holidays. We would also trust that the developer would keep in touch with residents and Hall Orchard School to ensure that they're not hampered or inconvenienced any more than necessary. Thank you. Officers, would you like to come back on any points raised? No? Okay, super. So far I've got the three, four now, councillors indicated to speak. First is Councillor Tillotson.
Thank you, Chair. First, the positives. The current bungalow is out of character with the area, so I'm quite happy with its demolition and development of the site. But I do think this is overdevelopment of the site. I'm very concerned that Highways are proposing demolition of part of a historic wall as the access isn't wide enough. This is a concern. I can't find any pictures of what we've heard described of as a historic 300-year-old barn. So is there a picture of it? Have I just missed it? So I'll let you have a little look at that. And incidentally, really, I don't see the point of carports. I think an open parking area is probably more flexible and more useful. And I can understand why Councillor Forrest is saying it would have been beneficial for us to have visited the site, but on the basis of what we've got in front of us, I won't be supporting the application.
Okay, thank you very much. Officers?
Yeah, just in page 13 of the presentation pack, on the first slide... So it's the second picture. You can see that's the building. Thank you.
Sorry, my understanding from the case officer, because I'm not the case officer for this application, but my understanding from the case officer was that the existing garage, the double garage that's on the site, it incorporates elements of the historic barn that was there. So there are remnants of a brick wall, there are remnants of a stone wall that are part of that garage, but it's not, you know, a fully formed historic barn. It's elements of that previous structure which have changed over time and have now become the garage. Okay,
thank you. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Chair. Can the officers explain to me or give me information why in 2020 an application for five dwellings was refused?
Officers?
I've got the application refusal notice in front of me. It's quite a long reason for refusal, but I'll read it if you like. Okay. So there was one reason for refusal as follows. The local planning authority is of the opinion that the proposed development, by virtue of its form, layout, design and access, would introduce a housing development into this important part of the conservation area, which would be of poor quality design and fail to adequately consider and respond to its historic context. The proposal fails to consider the retention, reuse of existing historic buildings on the site, and the overall loss of fabric, including the boundary wall fronting the site, would result in less than substantial harm to the significance of designated heritage assets, that of the setting of the listed building at 47 Beveridge Street and the Barrow upon Soar conservation area. It is also considered that the less than substantial harm is not outweighed by any public benefits. And then it lists the policies that the development is considered contrary to.
Is that enough, or did you want to hear more of that, Councillor?
I think that's adequate at the moment, Chair. Did that come to plans?
Not type remember.
We can double check for you. I'm not sure.
I just wanted to add, looking at the plans, I appreciate it's not in your pack. We have got one if you want to see it. It is quite different to what's proposed. There's a proposal to the lowering of the existing wall at the front and creating an access and a bin storage at the front of the site. So there is some differences on that to this one, so it's not entirely comparable.
Did notice that in this application there's bin storage at the front, isn't there? I totally understand that we've got a need for houses. I did go and look at the site today, and this is major overdevelopment, in my opinion. I don't like the way the drawings are. There's reference in here, I think, from somebody who says if we would need chimneys. I totally agree. I think houses in this sort of area need chimneys. So therefore, I propose that we go against officer's recommendation. It may be a little bit soon, but I propose we go against officer's recommendation, and at the moment I'm using overdevelopment of the site.
Okay, thank you. Before I seek a seconder on that, I'm just going to allow other councillors who have indicated the wish to speak to come in. Councillor Snark, you're next.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Councillor Lowe, for bringing up about the previous application. I'm just interested in the less than substantial harm and the retention reuse of existing historic buildings. Are we keeping any of the buildings this time, and what's different?
The retention this time, the front wall is to be retained as much as possible. On the previous scheme, that front wall was to be lowered. On the previous scheme, it showed that some of the listed wall adjacent to number 47, which is part of the listing description 47, that also is part of that was shown as removed as well. But both proposals have proposed the removal of the other structures on the site.
Councillor Starr?
So this fails, really, in terms of fails to consider the retention and reuse of existing historic buildings. So this fails that test as well.
Officers? Councillor Stark, do you want to just have a moment to have a look at that, and then you're welcome to come back on that if you wish. Councillor Stark,
that is the question. I've got one other thing in terms of something else, but I'm just trying to get myself around what the thing this application previously was failed on, and how this actually gets over that failure in terms of the proposal fails to consider the retention and use of existing historic buildings and less than substantial harm.
Officers?
I'm just wondering, Chair, we've got the conservation officer in the room with us. I'm wondering whether, and I think, if I'm right, Mark was involved in both schemes. I'm just wondering whether Mark has any background information that he might be able to provide as well.
Mark?
Thank you, Chair. I think probably the important thing to consider is, yeah, the presumption is that you would try and retain any buildings on the site. But you then have to look at how reusable those buildings are in terms of the proposal. And I think in this instance, it was really impractical to reuse those buildings as far as a new development was concerned.
Thank you. Councillor Snart?
Okay. The other thing is that we're losing one bungalow. We're desperately needing in bungalows. So that really is an issue for me as well. Time and time again it comes up and says we should actually start to build bungalows. And this comes out in terms of the policy which is on the neighbourhood plan, which is not referred to really, which is policy B little US 17, meeting the housing needs of older people. New housing development shall provide a mix of housing types that will be informed by the most up-to-date evidence of housing need. In particular, applicants will need to demonstrate how the housing needs of older households will be met. I've seen nothing in the officers can tell me how that actually has been met. And on page 47, it does say the mix of housing types proposed, identified in the description of the post above, includes mixed 2-4 bedroom properties of different scale and are considered to meet the need and character of the area in accordance with policy CS2. Doesn't mention at all policy BUS 17. I'm a great believer in neighbourhood plans, and we seem to be skipping over them at times, and I can't see any reference to that in the actual report. So I've got those three bits, the retention of the existing historic buildings and part of the wall going as well, and the new housing, removing the bungalow, I believe, probably confirm that, and we're losing, or it doesn't fit with policy BUS 17, it seems, but it'd be nice to get some information on that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Officers, you want to come back?
Yes, thank you, Chair. BUS 17 is referred to later on in the report under other matters on page 52. So the officer's report refers to BUS 17 and the support in the neighbourhood plan for accommodation for older people, and states that although the proposal includes no bungalows, it does represent a mix of 2, 3 and 4 bedroom properties with level thresholds and downstairs toilets. It's therefore considered that the proposed development would be suitable for older occupiers or could be readily adapted to meet specific occupier needs. So that policy is considered in the report.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to take the next speaker, Councillor Grimley, and then Councillor Seaton.
Thank you, Chair. I know the issue about the traffic problems and parkings, but parking on that. I see the highways raise no objections, and certainly the parking does meet the standards that highways do pass to. Although I do disagree with the standards they have, but that's by the by. So that meets all sorts of parking. Traffic, as mentioned, there is lots of existing traffic problems there. Mm-hmm. Will these properties add to that? Probably not. Well, certainly not demonstrably. Quick question, the 2020 appeal, what was the status of the 5-year housing supply in Charnwood when that appeal was heard?
Officers.
The application in 2020 that was refused didn't go to appeal. This application was a new application with a revised scheme, so the other application didn't go to appeal.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, what was the situation of the housing supply at the time?
Officers?
Sorry, I'm just reading through the report. It says the Sorry, I'm just checking it wasn't a comment. The council, according to figures published in March 2019, can demonstrate a five-year land supply of housing. So there was one at that time.
Thanks. So we're now looking into the sort of tilted balance that we did before. But that said, I do have concerns with the impact on the heritage on here, so I'm still open-minded. I just want to hear what other councillors do say on this.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Seaton.
Thank you. It's a bit strange what we see and how we see it. I see this as tidying up. People can agree with me. It might be 17th, 18th century housing, but what's the wrong with 20th century housing and 21st century housing going there as well? I feel as though if we put, instead of six houses at the back, if we'd have put five, I think we'd have not even argued about that. But those six houses are obviously standard. The sizes of the housing are acceptable. They've all got entries to their back gardens. Not a back garden that I'd like. It's very small, but not many people like big back gardens these days. You've got ample parking on the side there. I think the removal of sections of the wall to accommodate, I think it's 2 metres is acceptable, and I should imagine that that's the removal of the two pillars either side. And I think having the house with that garden would then help rather than having this shed there. As I say, I see it as tidying up the site. It won't impact the street scene at all. I like the style of the houses. I like that they've got the
Okay, well, Councillor Charles.
Thank you, Chair. Just a question for the officers, really. I'm looking at the photos. Obviously, we've got a row of terraced houses here. Are there any other rows of terraced houses in the area, please? Because I'm just concerned about policy CS2 and whether this development respects and enhances the character of the area regarding scale, massing and height. Thank you.
Officers?
I'm looking at the site location plan, which I've got in front of me. So this end of the street, there's a row of terraces, which are listed properties. Number 43 adjacent to the site is a terrace of three. There's a terrace of three further down the street on the other side of the road, further terrace of three on this same side, and then there's a terrace of four further down the street as well. So there are examples on, but they are fronting the street. They're not set back, but there are examples of terraces.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Charles. Do you want to come back on that? Okay, thank you. Well, so far we've had it proposed against officer recommendation by Councillor Lowe. So far we haven't had a seconder for that proposition. Councillor Tillotson has seconded that proposition. So I'm going to put that to the vote.
Sorry?
Can I just ask Councillor Law, you stated that you... just let me get my notes. Overdevelopment of the site. Now, is that in terms of design only, or is it in terms of harm to the character of the conservation area? I feel that there needs to be more elaboration in policy context.
The latter.
like was mentioned during deliberation, I think if this was five houses, I would be supporting it. I think the six houses is just a little bit too much, it pushes it too much. When you actually see the site, I know probably some councillors haven't seen the site, it's a small site for this many houses, and the parking and everything else that goes along with it. I'm sure there's other things that we could use that were originally used for that plan application in 2020, but I think I'd leave that to the officers to decide, Chair.
Can I
just say, I don't think it's for the officers to decide, I think it's for you as a proposer to indicate the grounds on which you are...
I'm doing that already, Chair, but as has been in the past, we've also left it to the officers to use their professional knowledge.
Yeah, but that's just putting a bit of meat on the bones. I mean, you've got to start with the bones first.
We want the meat.
Okay, well, all right, so I'm going to put that back to the officers. Is there any other grounds that...
Just our usual process, where I understand it is Councillor Lowe has proposed to go against officers' recommendation. You should take that vote first and then have a debate about reasons and that possibly a further vote as to whether to then refuse permission. It's done separately. The minute we're just not accepting officers' recommendation.
To be honest with you, I thought that's what we were going to do and I was stopped from doing that.
No. We usually go, have a proposition not to accept officers' recommendation when we do it as a two-stage, and then after that, we'd be looking for some further debate and potentially someone to propose refusing and provide grounds then. That's how we usually do it.
That's what I thought. But
sorry.
Okay. I'm quite used to this chairing business, so I was bowing to your superior. Okay, so it's been proposed refusal, and it's been seconded by Councillor Lowe, seconded by Councillor Tillotson, and the... Sorry, Councillor Grimley.
Are we proposing recommendation or proposing...
Refusal.
We're proposing refusal. That's what we are proposing now.
Yes.
At the moment, but we don't know the reasons that we're...
No, that'll be debated afterwards.
Oh. That can't be right. Sorry, Chair.
Sorry?
That can't be right. We need to know.
Sorry, I don't agree with that at all. I agree. We need to have the reasons up front for us to agree those reasons for refusal. And that's the way I've always done it. No disrespect to the principal officer, but I've been here 12 years and I cannot recall ever doing it that way.
Right, okay. So, right, in that case then we're going to... go with our officers over on this side then. So the reason for refusal is overdevelopment of the site. Is there any other reason for refusal?
Can we have those policies that we used in 2020?
Okay, so the 2020 refusal referred to policy CS2 and CS14. So CS2 is high quality design and CS14 is the heritage policy, and also EV1, which is the saved design policy, and then section 72(1) of the Planning Listed Building Conservation Areas Act, and also the policies in the neighbourhood plan BUS 4, 3, 16, and 17.
Well, I hope you know what all those mean.
I can't see any reason why we can't use them. I think they're wonderful.
But are they relevant today?
I believe they are, and unless the officers can tell me they're not.
Officers?
Yes.
So, okay. So my understanding is that you're recommending a refusal is that it's overdevelopment of the site because there's too many houses and no chimneys.
Yes.
Okay. So there's too many houses. So what the harm of that is
heritage.
Harm to heritage and design or just heritage?
So character and appearance of the conservation area?
Yeah.
So CS2, for
can
example...
Can we just have a bit of clarity on this, please?
So CS2 refers to respect and enhance the character of the area, having regard to scale, density, massing height, landscape layout, materials and access arrangements. And CS14 is the heritage policy, which requires development proposals to protect heritage assets and their setting. Supporting development which prioritises the refurbishment and reuse of disused or underused buildings of historic or architectural merit. So there's wording in there that could be
used. Are you happy with all of that, so Councillor Lowe?
I am. We are losing a few years.
Can I? I'm not too sure as the last one is particularly. Officers.
Okay, so for clarity, the motion is to refuse the application based on overdevelopment of the site, which would harm the character and appearance of the conservation area, contrary to CS2 and CS14 of the core strategy and EV1 of the saved local plan. Do you want to refer to the neighbourhood plan policies as well?
Yeah. Like has been said, again, joint debate, the neighbourhood plan is quite important to all of us, I believe.
Yes, thank you for that.
Okay, so policy BUS3 is local heritage assets. So that's concerned with balancing public benefits against heritage assets. And it does refer to traditional stone walls in that policy. And then BUS4 relates to design, which states new development will be required to reflect the guidance in the village design statement. BUS16 is the housing provision policy, which talks about scale, form and character. And BUS 17, meeting the needs of older people. So I don't know whether that would be a relevant policy for what you're saying.
I'm
yeah, so it would be BUS 3, 4 and 16.
Happy with that, Councillor Lowe?
I am, yes, thank you.
And Secretary, are you happy with that also?
Yes,
sir. So we're clear then on what we're voting on.
Yeah, I don't think we need to put any traffic or anything.
But you know, villages have to accept that, so I don't think there's any need to put anything in like that. I would also like to, just at this point, Chair, is thank the heritage man from Charnwood to be in here tonight. I think that's been worthwhile.
I think he's actually here on another matter. We're just fortunate he happens to be there. Okay, thank you. Okay, so is that clear then to everybody? Sorry?
No, sorry. Just go through what the actual proposition is.
Officers?
Do you want the full wording, or do you want just a general?
Yeah, what is the proposition?
Sorry,
Chair.
Yeah, I've had my hand up a couple of times.
Sorry.
That's all right. I just thought it was right to put in what was previously in about resulting in less substantial harm to significance of the designated heritage asset. And I think that's important because it's part of the actual planning law.
Officer?
If you want to include that, that's not a problem. That's sufficient to do so.
It's not for me, it's for Councillor Lowe to agree.
Councillor Lowe, are you happy with that?
I'm quite happy.
This proposal?
I would recommend that we make reference to the correct paragraph of the MPPF, which, if you give me 2 seconds, I will find.
Ms. Rouse, we're waiting for the officers to do that. Does anybody else want to make comment at all? No?
It's 2 or 2, so we'd need to include reference to paragraph 2 or 2 of the MPPF as well.
Mr. Harrison needs a summary of
So it's my understanding that members are voting on the move to refuse the application contrary to the officer's recommendation for the reasons of overdevelopment of the site, harm to the character and appearance of the conservation area, contrary to policies CS2, CS14, the neighbourhood plan policies BUS3, BUS4, BUS16, resulting in less than substantial harm, contrary to paragraph 202 of the MPPF, and sorry, EV1 of the local of the saved local plan.
So through the chair.
Through the chair, was there an EV16 there?
Officers?
Did we decide not to use that chair? For some reason I've got EV16 down, wrote down, chair.
EV16 isn't a saved policy.
EV1 is the design policy in the saved local plan. CS2, CS14 from the core strategy, and then the neighbourhood plan policies BUS 3, 4, and 16.
Thank you, Chair.
And the MPPF paragraph 202.
Claire?
Thank you, Chair. I just wonder whether we might want to delegate authority to officers to finalise the wording as well of those reasons.
Councillor Lowe? Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Chair.
So can you just confirm you agree?
More than happy to agree, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. It's for the tape because you were nodding. Okay, I think everybody's now clear. Is everybody clear on what we're voting on? So we're voting against officer recommendation. It's been proposed by Councillor Lowe, seconded by Councillor Tillotson. Can I have a show of hands in favour of that proposition? Those against? Abstentions? That's been carried with, I'll just get the figures for you. Yeah, one of them's out.
Yes, thank you, Chair, to confirm that proposition was carried by a vote of 7 for the proposition, 3 against, 2 abstentions, and 1 councillor left the room to not vote.
Okay, thank you very much. Do you want to call in the councillor? That's fine, if you'd like to leave now, that's fine. Yeah, we'll have a come for a break, but if we can make it fairly quick, and if we can make it, please, no more than 5 minutes. Is that all right? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So this is agenda item 3, reference P202393/2. And the proposed development is for up to 130 dwellings, provision of land for school expansion, open space and children's play area, and it's an outline application with all matters reserved except access.
And the site address is Landoff Humble Lane, Cossington. So the red line site location plan is the first plan in the presentation pack. And the second is the indicative site layout. And the third one is the red line plan on the aerial photograph, just to be clear of the site area. So this application was considered at Plans Committee on the 1st of December 2021, and committee resolved to grant planning permission subject to recommendation A and B in relation to the Section 106 obligations and the conditions set out in the report. So the purpose of this report is to correct the error in the previous report, which related to the site area which would be used for the school. So in the previous report, that area was stated as 1.2 hectares. That was an error. It should have said 0.6 hectares. And also, this report proposes to amend the conditions 27, 28 and 29 to add implementation clauses within those three conditions. Also within the committee report in front of you is a material considerations update. So since the application was originally considered at Plans Committee, the local plan, draft local plan, has now been submitted to the Secretary of State for examination. So prior to that, it hadn't been submitted. So this is a material change in circumstances. However, the local plan, the emerging local plan, is still given limited weight at this stage in its production. And so that status of the local plan and the weight given to the local plan is still the same as in the original report, as set out previously. Also within the report is reference to the Cossington Road Sileby appeal, which is ongoing at the moment. The original landscape assessment in the previous committee report considered that the original landscape assessment in the previous committee report is considered to be satisfactory. The matter of landscape appraisal and the value of the landscape has been considered at the Cossington Road Sileby appeal hearings, and evidence has been submitted by the council and the appellant in relation to that. And so there is clarification within the committee report in front of you, just to say that at the inquiry, the council's position is that the northern part of the Humble Lane site is a valued landscape, as is the Cossington Road Sileby site, which is currently at inquiry. So that's part of the report, and it just sets out that there is no change to the original considerations in the landscape assessment, and we don't feel that we need to reconsider the landscape assessment. So the conclusion of this report is that the recommendation in the previous committee report and extras report is unchanged. So the recommendation is that the resolution from Plans Committee on the 1st of December 2021, I should say 21, not 22, be amended to allow for the amendments to recommendation A in relation to the 0.6 hectares of land for the school, and recommendation D in relation to the amendments to conditions 27, 28 and 29. And Helen's just got an extras report as well.
Ask Helen for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So the extra item for this that unfortunately wasn't published, but members should have in front of them, there's one issue. The first issue is an email has been received from Fisher German on the 20th of April, enclosing a letter from Pegasus Planning. Fisher German are acting for the appellant David Wilson Holmes in the ongoing public inquiry for application P210492 with an appeal reference APP/X2410/W/21/3287864. The letter relates to issue 4 of the committee report regarding the public inquiry and what was discussed at the inquiry in relation to valued landscapes. The committee report states that it was agreed at the inquiry at the northern part of the Humble Lane Cossington application site is within the same valued landscape as the Cossington Road Sileby appeal site.
The letter contends that this was not agreed upon, and it is the view of the council only. The appellant considers that the appeal site is not a valued landscape or within a valued landscape. The officer responds to this issue is that it is noted that there is a difference of opinion between the two landscape witnesses at the public inquiry, which hinges around whether the appeal site is a valued landscape or not. Under cross-examination,